to the book of Genesis, chapter number 26. Genesis chapter 26, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word, begin reading in verse number 1. Genesis chapter 26, verse number 1, and the Lord is speaking with Isaac here. The Bible says, "And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, and to Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." I'd like for you to underline, if you would, in your Bible, where the Bible says in verse number 2, "Go not down into Egypt." Go not down into Egypt. And I'd like to preach on that thought this morning. Father, we thank you for the time that we have to look into thy word. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us today to see what you'd have us to see and to hear what you would have us to hear. Help me as I stand to preach, Lord. May this be a message sent from thee and delivered, Lord, by your messenger boy. I pray that the hearers would be touched in such a way that they'd be moved to serve you in a greater way, or moved to trust you as Savior. Lord, I can't do this without you. I need you. I need your strength, and I need your wisdom, and I need your guidance. And I'm going to thank you now for the results. Lord, this is all for you, and it's all about you. And I trust you. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We find a solemn truth that's given to us in verse number 1. And it's a truth that every Christian needs to learn, and every Christian needs to understand. The Bible says, "And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham." And so we see that there was a famine that happened in the days of Abraham, and it was happening in Isaac's day. And I want you to understand that it happens in every age. Famine was always a test and a trial of faith. We can go over into the Old Testament book of Ruth, and we're going to find that it was a famine in Bethlehem that caused Elimelech and Naomi to leave Bethlehem, the place that was called the House of Bread. And they went down to Moab, and there they suffered the loss of their husband, the loss of a husband and a father, and then a loss of two sons. Famine was a problem. Famine, many times, was God's way of dealing with people. And it was a great problem for the people of Abraham's day. And here we find for a people of Isaac's day. And it was in this hardship that we find in the Bible that God was speaking to Isaac. And he said, "Don't go down to Egypt. Go not down into Egypt, but dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of." You know, God was telling Isaac that though the future looked difficult and dark and the way was hard, don't go back into the world, because Egypt is always the top of the world. And then God gives him four wonderful thoughts, four promises, that if he would not go down into Egypt, he would experience these things. And I want you to understand that we're like Isaac today. Our fathers have had trouble. Our grandfathers have had their troubles. Their fathers and the generation before that and the generation before that, every day and every age, there have been troubles, there have been problems, there have been trials for people to go through. And troubles are a common thing. But God is telling to us, we don't have to go into the world to make it through the troubles. So many people want to run back to the world to get their answers. But the Bible teaches us we need to stay where God wants us to stay, and to do what God wants us to do, and to be what God wants us to be. Don't go back into the world. God is telling us, just because the troubles have come, don't turn back to the world. There's a song we hear one of the one of the groups we have on a tape that sings, "Don't Want to Go Back to the World." There's nothing in the world for me. I'm looking straight ahead. I'm not looking behind. You know, we need to understand this, that God's going to take care of us. God allows troubles to come to our life. God allows famines to be a part of our life. But God wants us to trust Him through the troubles and through the trials. And I promise you, dear friend, if you'll put your faith in God, God shall deliver. He always has, and He always will. God delivers, and God takes care. There's so many people that one time walk with God, but let the troubles cause them to go back to the world. But dear friends, they're missing out on the blessings of God. They're missing out on what God has for them. And like Isaac of old, I want us to see that God has given us the same kind of promise for those that refuse to go back into the world. There are blessings that far exceed the world. If we'll stay with God, if we'll stay with His will for our lives. And I want us to look at verse number 3 today, and we're going to find four thoughts, four promises that God said. If Isaac wouldn't go back into the world, and I believe we can apply them to our lives today. First of all, I want you to see the fellowship with Him is better than the world. The fellowship with the Lord is better than the world. Notice what the Bible says. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. I like that. Look, I love what the Bible has to say. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Bible teaches us, Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In John chapter number 14, He says, I am with you all. Matthew chapter 28, He says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Dear friends, I want you to understand, the Bible teaches us that God is with us. He's on our side, and we need to do what He wants us to do. We don't need to look to the world for the answer. We need to look to the Lord, and as we look to the Lord, we're going to have sweet fellowship with Him. I'm telling you, Isaac knew what it was like to be in the presence of the Lord. Isaac had been in God's presence time and time and time again. From the time he was just a little boy, he had the experience of fellowship with God. I have no doubt that as God was speaking to him this day and says, go not down into Egypt, his mind goes back to the time when he was on a place called Mount Moriah. It was him as a young lad and his father Abraham as they were treading up the mountain, and the father Abraham told some other fellows, you stay behind. We're going up to make a sacrifice. They had the wood, they had the fire, they had everything. Isaac said, Father, we have the wood. We have everything that we possibly need. But where's the lamb? And God and Abraham looked and said, Isaac, don't worry, God will provide Himself a lamb. And that day, as Isaac was laid down on that altar and Abraham had faith in God, Isaac was learning something about the promises of God. And God had told Abraham to sacrifice his son, his only son Isaac. And God and Abraham took Isaac and laid him down on the altar and tied him up and had him ready to be sacrificed. And the Bible teaches us that Abraham literally took his knife and he had drawn back ready to take his own son's life, believing that God was able to raise him up from the dead. But just as he raised his knife back, he heard something over in the bushes, and he looked, and thank God there was a ram in the thicket, and God let him know, you can let your son Isaac go because I know that you believe in my promises. Dear friends, when we'll go with God, sometimes the way may be hard and sometimes the way may be rough, but when you stand with God and you will go with God, there's going to be a ram over in the thicket, and just when you think that it gets too hard for you, God will provide Himself a lamb. And dear friends, 2,000 years ago, when the way looked hard and the way looked rough and it looked like there was no hope for the world, God robed Himself in flesh and came down into this world and took upon Himself the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and God became the Lamb of God. You remember the day that Jesus was walking down the road? John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God. God provides Himself a lamb. He was telling Isaac something here. He said, Isaac, don't go into Egypt. Don't go back to the world. I know there's a famine here, and there's plenty there, but you stay with me, and there'll be some sweet fellowship with me. And so Isaac was remembering the promises of God as that day God provided himself a lamb, and Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. I imagine there was another thing that went into Isaac's mind as he was thinking about this fellowship with God being better than the fellowship with the world. He probably went back to a day where he was sitting at the edge of a field about evening time, and he saw some camels coming. And he looked, and the Abraham's servant had went and found him a bride. And as he was sitting there that evening, here come the camels. The Bible says, behold, the camels are coming. And delivered on those camels was Isaac's lovely bride. You know, God always proves to be true. Isaac's a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride is a picture of the church. I'm telling you, they made a long journey to search out that bride, but God's promises came true. You see, they didn't look to the world for the bride. They looked to God, and God provided a bride. You see, to have that kind of fellowship with the Lord was far better to Isaac than to go down into Egypt. Now, I don't know what all the world has to offer us today. I know there's a lot out there. And boy, it's alluring, isn't it? Isn't it alluring to see all that the world has? But I'm telling you, the end of this world is death and destruction. But the end of God is life everlasting, is glory in heaven forever. Oh, we need to stand with the Lord, and we need to understand that when we go not down into Egypt, that the fellowship with Him is better than with the world. This world will offer you a lot of things. But I want to tell you something, dear friends. It's better to have fellowship with God and to stay away from the world than to have all the riches and all the treasures that the world can bestow upon you and be out of fellowship with God. You hear what I'm saying today? To have fellowship with God is better than anything the world has to give you. Anything. Go back to a time in David's life. There was a time that he felt like God was nowhere around. Nowhere around. Fellowship was broken. You can go over to Psalms 28 and you can read as he makes this statement. David cries out, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. And David was feeling the results of being out of fellowship with God. He said, I can't hear your voice. Be not silent. Because if I can't hear your voice, I'm like those that don't even know you. And there's a lot of Christians walking around today that knows Jesus Christ is their Savior, knows that heaven's going to be their home, but they can't talk with God, they can't fellowship with God because they've decided to go back into the world. And dear friends, there's nothing in the world that's satisfying. But everything in the Lord can satisfy. Don't go back! Don't go back into Egypt. If you don't go back, I'll give you this. Fellowship with me, God says, is better than with the world. A Christian has the privilege to walk with the Lord and feel His presence. John said it well in his little epistle of 1 John. He says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Not only do we see that the fellowship with Him is better than the world, I want you to see, secondly, Genesis chapter 26, verse 3, the fullness of Him is better than the world. The fullness of Him. Notice what the Bible says. Sojourn in the land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. I like that. I want the blessings of God, don't you? The word bless was a familiar word with Isaac, no doubt, because he had heard his father Abraham tell many times how God had blessed when he obeyed his call. I can imagine Abraham talking to his sons about the call that was given to him in Genesis chapter 12, where God said, I want you to sojourn. I want you to leave your mom and your dad, and I want you to leave your houses, your land. I want you to leave everything, and I want you to follow me. Where am I going? I'm not telling you that. You're just following me. Sometimes you just have to go where God tells you to go. You have to do what God tells you to do and follow Him each step of the way. Isaac well knew that what God did for his father, even in the material things of life. Did you know that when you're walking in the will of God, that your needs will be provided? The psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. He said, well, I'm saved and I don't have everything I need. You may not have everything you want, but if you're saved and you're living in God's will, you have everything you need. You say, well, I'm saved, but I don't have everything I need. Well, you better look. Are you living in God's will? Now, I'm just telling you, God's word's true. Whether I like what it says or not, it's true. Whether it makes me feel good or it brings conviction on me, it's true. And the fullness of Him is better than the world. Isaac knew the things of God. He knew the blessings of the Lord was better than going down into Egypt. Sometimes the way gets hard. And sometimes the troubles may seem like more than we can bear. But the blessings of the Lord is far better than anything the world has to offer. To have God to say about me, I will bless thee, is far greater than the biggest bank account the world has ever known. Listen to me. Money can be gone tomorrow, but God is forever. You remember many years ago there was a big day of the stock market. Sam Walton was still alive then. Everybody knows who Sam Walton is, right? Walmart. Started Walmart. That's part of our history, you know? Big part of our history. Walmart. What would we do without Walmart? Anymore, it breaks me up. It's more expensive than anything else. But anyway, he lost, I forget how much money in one day. The stock market dropped 500 points. And back then, that was a big thing. Anymore, it's down 500 points one day, up 500 the next day. It's crazy. But it dropped 500 points. It was the biggest drop in its history. And somebody said, what are you going to do? And they told how many millions of dollars he lost. I can't imagine losing millions of dollars, because I can't imagine having millions of dollars. I mean, I can't imagine losing $100, you know? But he lost millions of dollars one day. You know what he said? It's just paper. You know, his values weren't in his money. If your values are in what you own, I'm going to tell you something, you're going to be a miserable person. My house could burn down today, but I'd still have the Lord. But if I didn't have the Lord, I would lose so much. See, the fullness of Him is better than the world. There's so many people that's trying to get filled up on the things of the world, but I'm telling you that the fullness of the Lord is so much better than the world. We don't need to go back down into Egypt. If you're saved and you know Christ is your Savior, don't go back to the world. You just look to the Lord and watch the Lord. God's going to take care of us. Then I want you to see, thirdly, not only is the fellowship with Him better and the fullness of Him, the family in Him is better than the world. The Bible says, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed will I give, all these countries. You know, Isaac had two sons to think about. If he took them down to Egypt and brought them up among the heathens. See, I say it heathens, but I say it just because people laugh when I say it. Yeah. Bring them up amongst the heathens, then what kind of boys would they be? Some of us are guilty of this. I was at the mall Saturday. I remember when I was 18, I said when I was 18 years old, some of my friends were going to go to the mall on a Saturday night. And I said to my dad, "Dad, I'm going to the mall." And my dad said to his son, "No, you're not." And I said, "I am. I wasn't saved yet. Okay? I wasn't saved yet." And I said, "Dad, I'm going to the mall. My friends are going to the mall, and I'm going to the mall with them." He said, "You're under my roof, you live in my house, and you're not going." And I got in his face. I can tell I've been redeemed, forgiven, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I'm telling any of you boys that would ever stand in your father's face, you're a fool. And I want you to know, I went over the couch backwards. You know what I said? "I won't go." "Okay, you win." I didn't go. I was 18. You know what he said? He said, "Son, I trust you, but I don't trust them." That made a whole lot of sense to me. You know what he was telling me? I'd never been in trouble in my life. Never with them. Never. I mean, you know, other than my grades. Maybe a lie or two every now and then I got caught in. But never really anything big. I never backtalked. I never did things like that because, I mean, I knew better. I love life. I wanted to love life and see good days. And I knew if I did that, life would be shortened. But anyway, I remember so many times he would tell me no and things. I thought, well, that's not fair. But I found out he loved me. And he told me, he said, "Son, I trust you." He said, "But I don't trust them others." And I was at the mall Saturday. We went to pick something up. And some of the things I saw, I had to say, "Thank you, Lord, for a daddy that told me no." See, he felt a responsibility. And some of us are sending our kids out to the wolves. We're sending our kids out into places. Look, I realize everybody doesn't have the privilege of Christian school, and everybody can't send kids to private schools and things like that. But boy, I'm going to tell you something. You better get them ready, because those demonic teachings in some of our schools, they're going to tell your kids that they come from a monkey, and they're going to tell you that the world is millions of years old, but it doesn't line up with the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's a summary statement. And then you start in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2. That tells you how He did what the Bible says in verse number 1. We have to understand that we're sending our kids to the wolves, and we have to get them ready. I don't know the answer. I'll tell you what the answer is. The answer is to win our world back to Christ. But the family in Him is better than with the world. Isaac had to think about his sons. There's some strange things that happened to his two sons, no doubt about that. But they had their place in God's plan. And the grandsons of Isaac are the 12 of whom the tribes of Israel are named. The great-grandsons, some instances, is better than going down into Egypt. God was saying it's better to go through the famine and trust in me than to go into the world to try to find what you need. Dear friends, today I want you to understand something. As we look at our church and we realize there's churches that are booming and busting at the seams, they've went to the world to find what they want and to get what they need. They've made their church more like a corporation than a Bible-believing church. It's more like a rock music concert. It's more like a corporate headquarters than it is a place where God is worshipped and where God is lifted up. And today, dear friends, I want to see our church grow. I want to see us busting at the seams. I want to see us fill this building up to overflowing. Don't deny that. Don't ever doubt that. But I don't want to do it the world's way. I want to do it God's way. We have all the church gurus out there that are telling us how to build a church and all these different things. And what is it that they call them? Church church growth experts. Well, we have the expertise that we need right here in God's Word. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. He didn't say, I'll build your church, you will build my church. He said, I will build my church. And dear friends, I have a family to consider, and we're not going to go to the world. We're going to look to God, and we're going to follow God, and we're going to let God build this church. We must do it God's way. There are many that are in church today that are saved and here because you refuse to go back into the world, or because your parents refuse to go back into the world. It wasn't easy when the times of testing came. But aren't you glad you're free, you refused to go? Look, can't some of you look and say, boy, it would have been easy just to got out of church? You know, look how many people at home right now that ought to be in the house of God. Saved. Saved. Been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But where are they? They went back to the world, haven't they? You know what? They're destroying their family. They're missing out on the fullness. And they have no fellowship with God. May the Lord help us. If you don't have any other reason not to go back into the world, this family issue ought to be enough to keep us faithful to the Lord. Then finally, I want you to see the faithfulness of Him is better than the world. The faithfulness of Him. The Bible says, sojourn in the land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Isaac knew that God had never broken the covenant that He made with Abraham. Isaac knew that. There had been famine in Abraham's day, but God had taken care of Abraham, all because of the promise, all because of the oath that He had made. You know, if God had never failed in one of His promises, I have no doubt Isaac was thinking, why should I not trust Him now? Can I ask you a question today? Can you give me one promise where God has failed in your life? One. Can you give me one promise that God has given to us in His Word where He hasn't come through? You can't, can you? If God has never failed in one of His promises, why shouldn't we trust Him now? Why shouldn't we just follow Him now? You see, the faithfulness of the Lord is greater than the faithfulness of the world. As long as people have money, people like them. The world likes people like that. But you let somebody lose all their money and you find out how many friends you really have. As long as you have material possessions, people like that. But when they have nothing, you don't find many friends hanging around. But in the family of God, in the faithfulness of God, you're going to find that there's a family that's dear. We have people from all walks of life in this church. We have people from different countries, different backgrounds. We have some that live day to day and some that make it a little bit better. You understand what I'm saying? We have people that have never been without, probably, and people that have never had much. But I look around and I see a family that loves one another. See, that's found in the Lord. That's the faithfulness of God. We have people that speak different languages, probably more fluently than they speak English. We have people with different colored skin. But you know what? The Lord loves them. We love each other. We're going to the same heaven. God's faithful to all of us. And we just need to understand, we don't need to go back into the world. Churches are doing it all over, aren't they? And Christians are doing it all over. Go not down into Egypt. Is that what He says? Go not. Let's look at it one more time. You're there. Genesis 26. Let me get there. Go not down into Egypt, but dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. God's going to tell us where we need to be. and what we need to be doing. But we don't need to go back to the world. It's old-fashioned day. But this is every Sunday preaching, isn't it? It's the way it always is. We don't need the world. We need the Lord. Now, I'm going to be friends with God and with mammon. Well, that's not a terrible thing because the Bible teaches me that's a wise thing to do. But I'm not going to go back into the world. I'm going to be kind to everyone. And you never know. God may use that to help our church to do what we need to do. But look, why do we need the world when we have the Lord? This world's going to fail you. But I can tell you one that never will fail you. He's the Lord. Do you know Him? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Is heaven going to be your home? If it is, then you don't need to go back into the world. You need to stand on a firm foundation. And it'll stand when the winds may blow and the rains may come and the floods may beat upon the house. It blew and blew and blew. But the house stood. Because it was built on the rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Is your house built upon the Lord? Don't go into Egypt. Look to Jesus. He'll take care of every need. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for the time You've given to us to look into Your Word. I pray, Lord, we've been helped by it today, that we've been strengthened by it. I pray for that one that's here without Christ as Savior. Lord, help them to realize that this world is trying to trick them.